Thank you, brother. We've had a wonderful Sunday school and a wonderful lecture this morning. And now we come to the point that we always wait for, and that is the taking of the memorial. My eyes are not functioning best I've ever had this morning. I don't know whether it's allergy or old age, but I'm going to say it's allergy. Age don't have anything to do with it. We are gathered here to partake of these emblems, representing the broken body and the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. And we meet here on the unamended Birmingham Statement of Faith. We'd like to start this morning, and we're not going to take you through everything that I have written, because if we did, you would probably be here till 1 o'clock. And by 1 o'clock, I'm afraid that I would probably be here by myself. So I'm going to cut this as short as I possibly can, and yet try to do what the Lord would want. You know, what brought all this on was man. We know in Genesis, and that's where we usually start everything, is in Genesis. We find in Genesis in the third chapter exactly what happened to man and what state man was put into and why it was necessary for man to please God afterwards. And then Adam and Eve, they were put in the Garden of Eden, as you know, and they were told what they could eat and what they could not eat, and what fruit they could not eat of. And I'd like to read from the third chapter of Genesis. And they heard a voice, the Lord of God, walking in the garden and called in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord of God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And man said, The woman who thou gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, Serpent beguiled me. That was the beginning of the downfall of the human race. I won't go into everything that I could go into leading up to this point, because man was put into the garden, and the difference between man and animal was that man was given the authority to think, to reason, to do what he felt like he should do. And the beginning was that man did not do what God wanted him to do. He did not please God. So this is where we hear the first of Christ, and that is in the third chapter, the 15th verse, and it says, But I will put enmity between thee and thy seed, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's the first word that we have heard spoken of Christ. Then we go on through this chapter and all the way through the Bible, and we find that there were certain things that man had to do to be able to come back in to a covenant with God. The first thing that was shown here was the Adamic covenant. And the Adamic covenant was shown by the shedding of blood. You remember, and I'm not going through it all, but you remember that when after Adam and Eve had sinned, when they realized that they had sinned, and before they would come before God, they were covered with skins. So that was the first shedding of blood right there. That was the very first shedding of the blood. And then we go on down to Moses, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden, and so it was necessary for them to do what they had to do to get back into the garden. Then we come to the story of Cain and Abel. And this is one of the first places that we really find out that you have to do God's will. There was a certain sacrifice that had to be offered, and this was not done. We find that Cain and Abel, we found that Abel's sacrifice was pleasing. Cain was a tiller of soil, and therefore he thought that his way was better, so that was the sacrifice that he would give. How many times today do we hear and do we understand that man still thinks that his way is better and that he can do what he wants to and still be accepted? We hear that every day, on every corner. Every time you turn around, you hear that same thing that was told about in Genesis. And that was another downfall of showing that man has to obey the law of God. We know that Abram found faith with God. We know that it was because he did it because of God's commandments. He followed God's commandments. And by following his commandments, became the father of the Israelites. And Abram's name was changed to Abraham. We find that in Genesis 17:4-5. The covenant was confirmed and made everlasting in Genesis 17:6. Abram was promised that his seed would inherit the earth. And that's what we're looking forward to today, is for a kingdom that will inherit the earth. A lot of people don't understand this. They're confused when they're reading the scriptures. They have other things in mind. I'm gonna skip down some things. I'm kind of wandering around here. But we found that Moses was led the Exodus out of Egypt. The Jewish people had been exiled to Egypt, and with God's way they were led out of Egypt, and Moses was the one that led them. God gave manna, and this was the feed, this was what was fed to the people that came out of Egypt. The manna that they received came from the heaven, from God. The manna we're receiving today comes out of the scriptures. We have to connect that manna with the manna of the scriptures. They were told how they should do, how they should collect the manna, how they should eat the manna, how they should prepare the manna, how they should not carry it over except when over on the, I would call it the weekend. What we're told in this scripture is how we should accept the Word of God, how we should do the Word of God, and how we should prepare the Word of God. These are the things that coincide all the way through the scriptures. There's never anything in there that doesn't agree. And of course, we found that Moses, the children wanted water, and Moses struck the rock, and water came forth, and that's where they received their water. Well, we understand that water is very necessary to us today in our baptism. We understand this. We understand that we have to have the Word of God and that we have to be baptized into Christ. Those are two of the things that have been carried down. Sacrifice was carried all the way through the Scriptures. And it was done by blood, the sacrifice. Most of the sacrifices were the killing of animals, blood. You'll find a few sacrifices that were done some other way, but most of it was through the blood of the animal. And this is where we came to realize that there had to be, and the Scriptures told us from the beginning, that there would be a Savior, and that he would come, and in Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, we find the story of Jesus Christ. We find that he was the one that was predicted all the way through. He is the one that was going to be our Savior. He is the one that was going to be the perfect sacrifice. And without his perfect sacrifice, it would be impossible for us today to come unto God. Up until the sacrifice of Christ, after his crucifixion, after the law of Moses, which I skipped over, after the law of Moses, we realized that it was almost impossible for man to live under the law of Moses. There was very little way that man could come unto God. It was a hard, hard taskmaster. The Bible tells us it was a hard taskmaster. And so therefore, it came by that Christ was born, came on this earth. He was born of a woman so that he would know of all of our tendencies to sin, because he was going to be our mediator. And this is what we're thinking about today as we gather here to partake of these emblems, representing the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Because without the shed blood and without the resurrection, the blood could have been shed, but without the resurrection, it would have been impossible for us to be in the kingdom. These are the things that we have to understand. We have to know this. And these are the things that he taught his apostles and his disciples. He told them that he was going to be crucified. He told them in so many words that he was going to die, and that he was going to be buried, and that he would be raised in 3 days. But yet some of them didn't believe it. They didn't understand what he was talking about, because for years and years and years they had thought on other things beside the resurrection. Resurrection really was not taught to the early Jewish people. So they didn't understand what he was telling them. And it was difficult for them to understand that they had to be He had to be crucified and buried, remain in the grave for 3 days, and raised. This was a hard thing for them to know. It's hard today for people to understand that there's only one way to salvation. People will tell you, oh, you know, we're all trying to go to the same place, but there's many different roads. Well, we're in this room, the brothers and sisters in this room know, realize that we're not all trying to go to the same place. Because when they tell you that, the majority of them are talking about going to heaven and living in heaven. They don't understand that the kingdom of God is to be on this earth. So when they tell you we're all trying to go to the same place, the first thing I say is, no, I don't think so. That's the very first thing I say, and then I try to explain to them what I really believe and what we really believe. And we're firmly convinced that this is where the kingdom is going to be established. And to get that through people's mind goes all the way back to Genesis. They're going to believe what they want to believe. And they don't want to believe the Word of God. Because the Word of God, it was pointed out this morning by Brother Ernie, there's certain things that you have to do. There's certain rules that you have to obey. And these things are set out for us in the Scripture. And if we don't obey them, and if we don't do these rules, then it is impossible for us to get into the kingdom. And that is where everyone in this room, the brothers, the sisters, and the friends are trying to get today, is get into the kingdom of God. Now we hear constantly, and some of you are not going to like probably what I'm going to say, but I'm old enough that I usually say what I want to. But here's what I'm going to say. I was talking to one of the brothers today. So often we hear, and this is a fine thing and we ought to talk about it. So often we hear, though, that the return of Christ is near. The return of Christ is right on us. And then it doesn't happen. And then you see people turn away. I've seen it happen, and there's two or three in this room that have seen it happen several times through their lives, that they set the date, the time for the Lord to return. The Scripture says it's not for you to know the time or the hour. Because if you knew the time of the hour, we'd all be, I guess, crazy. We'd be wondering what we could do. But the time of the hour is the minute you die. The minute you die, the next waking second you know, you're going to be standing in the judgment. And as you get older, you realize this. Now, I'm not saying, and please don't leave this room saying, that Brother Ben said that the kingdom was going to be a long time in coming. I don't know. But the thing we've got to do is to live every day and every second like the kingdom is now. Because to me, I was telling him that I'm running out of real estate. Now, when you're getting my age, you know, the return of the Lord is close, real close. But that doesn't mean that the younger person, the return of the Lord to you could be real close. Because you pick up the paper every day and you see where some young person has died. Some young person has ceased to exist. And this is the reason that it's important for us to realize that we've got to live every day and every minute, just as though the Lord is going to walk in on you right now. We all believe it. And we believe that the time is nigh because we're seeing signs and we're seeing things happen in around Israel. And we're seeing certain signs, but we still see other things that we know that it hadn't quite happened yet. But Brother Ernie this morning said he was getting old. He's getting gray-headed. He can't hear. Wait till he reaches my age. Then you can't think. You know, I was talking to one of the brothers this morning, and we were talking about the mine being a leaking vessel. And I said, mine is not a leaking vessel. Mine is a bucket without the bottom in it. The water just won't stay in there. It just goes right on through. So what you've got to remember is that you've got to live every minute of every day just as though Christ's return is now. Because it is. It is as far as you're concerned. And you've got to live that way. And you've got to believe that way. Because we're none of us guaranteed that we'll even get home. None of us. And Christ gave himself as a sacrifice. The Lord God loved man so well that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Gave his only son. Now, unless you're a daddy, or unless you're a mother, it's hard to understand what that really means. Because most of us in this room had rather give ourselves, if it was necessary, to save our child, we would give ourselves quicker than it would to save our child. That's just the way we are. So Christ came along, who was predicted, born of a woman, understanding our shortcomings, understanding our nature, understanding the nature of man, understanding the Adamic nature, so that he could be a mediator for us, between God and us. And that's Jesus Christ. That was his role. To teach the people what to believe, how to live, and what to do to receive eternal life. And that's what we're all striving for. Do we have the memorial hymn now? And after we have the memorial hymn, would you be seated, please?